Moreover, Rabbi Isai, lessons from the lay, Parshas Bechukosai, and a message also for Lag BaOmer, Haba Aleinu Latova this week. The topic for tonight, lessons for the lay, how to make thank you your magic word. How do we instill upon ourselves a topic called Hakaras HaTov? And I think that hopefully we'll get a very, very important lesson from this Parsha, and hope the lesson does travel also to the wonderful holiday of Lag BaOmer, which we celebrate this week. At the end of the Parsha, at the end of Sefer Vayikra, as we get to say Chazak, Chazak, Benitz Chazek, here in Eretz Yisrael, sorry for our friends outside of Eretz Yisrael, have to wait. So, we learn about Meister Behema. We learn about this very interesting din in Perek Chaf Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Veiz. B'chol Meister Bakar V'tzon Kol Asher Yavo Tachas, right? So what would happen? Every tenth animal that you had in your corral of animals would be Kaddish L'Hashem. Zok the Gemara in Bechoris Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis. What was the procedure? Listen to this procedure, quite interesting. The procedure was like this. Tanu Rabbanan, right? How would this happen? K'nisin L'Din V'Yosin L'Hem Petach Katan. Listen to this seemingly interesting. Sounds like, in my humble opinion, more than interesting. Doesn't appear to be the right way to do things. And I'm not going to be the only one that says this, but it says like this. They would go and they would open up a little opening so that the animal could just fit through. And they would count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, up, 10. They would take the animal and that one and they would put it somewhere else. Right? And that's what they would do. And this would go on and on. Now this was cute if you had 100 animals. Imagine if you had 1,000. What was going on here? Why was this process? Why did we have to do it like this? Seemingly, as I said, it would be done in a much smarter way to figure out how many animals you had. Say, okay, I have 10,000 animals. What's 10% of, right, 10,000? And somebody would be able to figure it out for you. They'll take out their calculator and they'll figure it out. So why do we have this seemingly much more difficult procedure? So, to answer this, I'm going to tell you a little story. This is the story that is told in the name of Rabbi Elazar Gordon. Rabbi Gordon was a Rosh Yeshiva of Telz in Lithuania. And he goes to it's interesting that a lot of these Rosh Yeshivas are well known for being great fundraisers. So he was a great fundraiser. So Rabbi Gordon goes now to collect a viewer to a certain rich person, and he goes up to him and he says, I would like 500 ruble for a donation. The man smirks and says, Rebbe, I mean, come on. 500 ruble? 50 ruble maybe? 100? 500? Nobody has 50. Come on! Rebbe, why would you ask me for so much money? So Rabbi Gordon answers him and says, are you familiar with this Gemara in Bechoris? Are you familiar with the Mishnayos that talk about this Pidyon Behema? So he says, of course, Rebbe, I know. So he says, can you explain to me why it was done in the way that we just described? Why 111? Doesn't make any sense. Why did we do like I said? 10,000, 1,000 animals, and say, what's 10% of that? So he says, the rich man says, I don't know. So Rabbi Gordon says, I'm going to explain to you why it was done that way. You see, for a wealthy Jew, 10%, right, of 10,000 is a big number. And it's difficult. But when you do like this, 1 for me, 2 for me, 3 for me, 6 for me, 8 for me, 9 for me, 10, 1 for Hashem, you almost are embarrassed by that. You're almost embarrassed to be able to thank Hashem in that way. What? I get 9 and he only gets 1? And you keep doing that for 10, right? You keep doing that until you get to the 10,000th animal. That's much, much different. Because every time you do that, you almost feel bad, says Rabbi Gordon. Psychologically, it's much easier to give Meister under those conditions. And then he tells the guy why he thinks he should give 500, he should give it all at once. Now, okay, fine. Says Rav Pam, this is one of our failings in life. We fail to see Hakaras HaTov in everything that we have and everything that we get. And it's a simple word that, unfortunately, I personally, excuse me for saying this is not going to be great Musar tonight, I don't hear a lot. And that's the word of thank you. We go to someone's home, their wife has prepared a meal, Kiyad HaMelech, Kiyad Shloime Beshatoi, and Chutzpah. The guys say, okay, Rebbe, we're leaving. They don't help out. They don't do anything. They think they're such great people because they brought a bottle of water, maybe. I don't know. And so such a chutzpah. There's a bottle of water. Wow. My usual joke, guys used to bring me, I actually think this is a great gift, but they brought me a bottle of Coke Zero. They bring me a bottle, some if they're really great, they bring a bottle of Coke Zero and it's cold. Fine. But then you think about it, well, the Coke Zero costs 7 shekel. There's 7 guys that came to my house. A shekel, my wife's worth 25 cents to you? Come on, I could use that joke. You can't do that. So what's going on here? What's going on? I'll tell you even worse. I hate to say this to the live crowd in YU that listen to this on YU Torah and all the people. One of the rabbeim in the yeshiva told me a horrible story. I hope nobody hears. He gets a call Friday at 4 o'clock from 2 boys. And they say, Rebbe, sorry, we can't come to your house for Shabbos. Okay? People can be sick, it's okay. We got a better offer. We got a better offer. They got a better offer. Not that they don't like the Rebbe, but we got a better offer. We don't want to walk so far. You live a little bit farther. What a chutzpah. Tuition is roughly $25,000. If we were to poll the entire students of Yeshiva Leva Torah in one of Rav Usher's wonderful statistic, and we said how many people in our survey once this year called their parents and said thank you for spending that much money on me. We're not doing the survey now. So that's ridiculous. That's like a Karas HaTov 101. But I think that here it was a lack. If you had 10,000 animals, you're going to... But yeah, because if I have to go ahead and say, I have to give away 1,000 animals, I can't do that. There's such a lack of Hakaras HaTov in this generation. And it's even worse now. It's even worse. I always joke, one of the funny things about moving here, right, is that when you go to a cashier and the cashier gives you change, what do they say to you? They give you your change, right? They say to you, you're welcome, Bakashab, you're welcome. Like, oh, thank you, sorry. Like, in America, imagine if you go to a cashier and the cashier says to you, right, the cashier says, you're welcome! You know, like, oh, I'm sorry, I meant to say thank you. But in Israel, they say it automatically. You're welcome. The idea is that we have to sensitize ourselves to what HaKaras HaTov is. In fact, a halacha today that we learned in, I think, Reish Chaf Aleph in Shulchan Aruch, is that if there was a time in Eretz Yisrael where there was no rain, which... unfortunately, we've experienced here in Eretz Yisrael. And then it starts raining, or even if it says the Mishnah Berurah, it's the next year already, and it starts raining. The halacha is that you say a bracha, that you thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, a kol tipa v'tipa, on every single drop. How many of us think about that, ever? What do we normally react? Oh, God, I can't believe it's raining again. I got to pick up the kids. I got to do that. Do you know what rain means? Where is the Hakaras HaTov? This week, we celebrate Lag BaOmer. I'll admit to you, I have difficulty understanding what is the celebration, because the Shulchan Aruch clearly says in the Mishnah Berurah the celebration of Lag BaOmer is Pasku Mulchamas. The students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. That's the clear interpretation. Shkoyach. Added on after that, here and there, you'll find in different Svarim Hakadosh, and the Kaf HaChai says Shem BaYochai. The Hulul of Shem BaYochai. Good, very nice, it's true, I don't deny that. It's also the Ramaz Yurtzai, Shkoyah. So what's all the hoopla? Seems that if I say Lag BaOmer, you'll experience this. Everybody's going to say, what do you mean? What? Students of Rabbi Akiva, forget about that. So Hulul of Shem BaYochai. What's the Yisod? How do we put a silver lining on this day? I think the silver lining is, it's a day of Hakaras HaTov. You see, because what happened there is something that we don't see. And in fact, even though I'm old enough, I have not yet read the Zohar cover to cover, or even one cover of it. And it's interesting that the Zohar, who seemingly, possibly, was written by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, does not mention how did he get all these Yisodos, the Sodos, all of those secrets. What's the story about him? So we all know the story. Rabbi Akiva lost all of his students. Finally, they stopped dying. Now, I don't know if one could add, what's the big simcha? 24,000 just died. They stopped dying. And now what happened? So if I was lost 24,000 students, Rahman al-Islam, So that would be it. I would give up. He didn't give up. And he gave it over to a very small amount of students, and one of them being Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who gave it over in such a way that was so powerful that it really defines many different areas of Torah today. And one should point out, I once did this research, I didn't get very far, but I did this research. We spent the Shabbos in Tzfat when I was involved in another school, in a seminary, and I pointed out to the girls that the Mishnah Berurah, just in the first few simanim, and all the Mishnah Berurah, mentions many times the Arizal, and mentions many times Kabbalah, the Zohar. It's quoted. It's not a joke. So I don't say that it's not important. But I think there's also that element of Hakaras HaTov. You see, when we see the darkest of times, all of a sudden we see the light shines so brightly on the same day that the students were. What happened? Torah was rebuilt in a different way. And I think that that's Hakaras HaTov. And I think that that is a lacking that we maybe don't appreciate. And I don't, I have my theories. But sometimes when I say my theories and they get online, people write me that they don't like those theories. So maybe I won't go into specific details. But it is a very, very sad point. On the simplest level of the word thank you, we know, of course, Hakara Zatov, we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu wanting to do some of the makos because he had a car store for inanimate objects. It's unbelievable. Rav Aaron Salvation always used to say, halachically, you really shouldn't have many animals are problematic, but I can never say anything about somebody who asked me about a dog. A dog, we have to remember, they saved it in Mitzrayim. Sorry, it laughs at Rebbe. Mitzrayim was, a few years ago. What? Because they didn't make any noise. No, we always have to have a karas dog. Right? And that's an amazing thing. Just comes to mind another story, Rav Aaron Salvechik. Rav Aaron Salvechik's first job, I think if I'm correct, was he received a job in the Streitz Matzah factory as the mashkiach. As the person who gave the Ashkacha, originally Aaron Streitz wanted to give it to the Rav Salvechik, but he wanted his brother to have a job. He didn't know that he would become a big Rosh Hashiva one day. And that was his first job, and he always had a Karas HaTov that he took the risk on this person. Aaron Salvechik didn't really know. He said, Rav Yosef Dov, everybody knew who that was. That I remember when he passed away, which was one of the years I was in Shir, so Rav Aaron said Kaddish the entire year for him. He said, "It's the least I can do. This person employed me the first time. I have tremendous Hakaras HaTov for him." Is that something that we even remember nowadays? These thank yous, these situations. Recently, there was a tremendous tragedy last week where two Satmar Hasidim, unfortunately, were hit by a riptide and they died. A very big tragedy. One of them was a tremendous Askan. He gave a tremendous amount of stock. It was well known. I think he owned a lumber place, Bar Park Lumber. So this man tells a story. And he says, I can't believe I'm able to tell this story now. You're not going to believe this almost. And he tells the story about one day he finds himself somewhere in Brooklyn, he reports, and his car stalls. And he says, it couldn't possibly have stalled in more of a worse neighborhood in Brooklyn than this place. And I pusha don't know what to do. Right? I can call the AAA, but if I stay in the car, I'm going to be in trouble. If I get out of the car, I'm going to be in trouble. I pusha don't know what to do. So I figured my best chances are for me to get out of the car and try to figure out what's wrong with the car. And I get out of the car, not but a minute goes by, a woman clearly looking not like a Jew, because she was African American, says, good point, says, get back in the car. I'm going to help you, don't worry. She put your car in neutral and she pushed the car with her car into a more safe place. And he was in a middle lane. It was dangerous in itself. And she says, thank you so much. She says, can I ask you a question? He clearly was dressed like a Hasidic person. He says, why'd you help me? She says, well, I got to tell you a story. My father passed away a year ago. And he was very sick for a very long time. But for many years, he worked at this lumber place in Borough Park. And the man there, who looked exactly like you, with the beard and the pace and the whole, geshef, he looked like you. So he said, I know that you can't work anymore because you're sick. I'm still going to pay you. And when he passed away, he gave us money. And I always said to him, how do I pay this guy back? What can I do? I said, I could just do acts of kindness. And what this guy wrote, he saved my life. God knows what would have happened to me. And I said, I never knew who that man was. I never did the research. Who's this guy that owned the lumber? Who am I going to find? And now I hear all the stories about this person. Hakaras HaTov, you don't know what it means, what it means to go up to somebody and say, hey, thank you. Hey, Rebbe, only if you're honest about it. Hey, Rebbe, that was great. That was a great show. Hey, thanks, you know. This lessons of life changed my life, Rebbe. You're the best Rebbe ever. I bought you the safer. This is great. No. I'm saying, but that's the Yisod. And we miss this. It's such a simple thing to say, but it's so pathetic that we don't do it. I don't know. Quote number 277 that I put onto the sign today says, saying thank you is more than good manners. It is spirituality. It is, because you see, the whole Yisod of why we make brachas, right, says the Svar Makadoshim, is not because Hashem needs us to say thank you to Him. It's to get us used to the word thank you. Brachas, 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 all the time. So when it comes to a parent, and this is my last point, but most important point, you get it. Yalkut Yosef, I remember learning with one of the Talmidim, he brings home this idea. And he says, all the brachas, everything, they're worthless if you don't have a kibud av aim. If you don't act well and give hakaras hatov to the absolute, positively most important form of hakaras hatov, it's your parents. I mean, come on. What they've done for you, it's unbelievable. And we're too macho. We can't say thank you. It's not appropriate to say, what's going on here? Thank you very much. Rav Goldbach, of course, we've mentioned this already, you know, suggested you write a letter to your parents. I don't know if you know what that is. Stamps, pens, well, I don't know, it's difficult. But that is a level. And you should think about it now. If it's something that you haven't already thought about, work on this midah. How do I show hakaras hatov to my parents? Sometimes the best hakaras hatov is just acting differently, acting nicely, and showing them more respect. And my final story, I just happened to tell the story to somebody today. I was at a conference today with a number of Hasidim, it happened to be. And I told him the following beautiful story I heard directly from the mouth of Rav Uri Zohar. So Rav Uri Zohar was a very famous, very, very famous movie star here in Israel. And shockingly to the whole nation of Israel, he became religious. But he says that when he came religious, his wife did not share the same values, nor did his children. You can imagine difficulty living in a home where he's the firm one and nobody else is following anything. So he had one of his sons, and his son said, Abba, what's this with the Shabbos? And he started learning with him a little bit, and the son says, you know what? I want to go to a religious school. And he starts to go to a religious school. This is what Rabbi Rizor is always thinking today, the amazing work that he does. And the wife wants to have nothing to do with religious, nothing to do with it. Fine. She notices something very, very strange. Every time she walks into the room, her son, who now has become religious, stands up for her, right? Not like you do when a rabbi walks in, you go like something like that, like stands up, mamash. She thinks it's weird. I mean, the kid's a teenager, as it is, like he hardly stands up. Well, what's going on here? She calls the son out. She says, what are you doing? What is this? So he says, there's a halacha that says, okay, you can ask your rabbi whether or not you should do this or not. Parents, some parents don't like this. They're mochel on the covet. It's not important what the halacha exactly is. But he says, Ma, you did so much for me in my life. I learned this new halacha. It's so important to me to do it. I hope you will let me do it because it's the way I could show Akar So, say thank you for everything. Give me, I want to show you respect. You're like a rabbi to me. You've taught me so much. And she was dumbfounded by this. This wasn't such an easy kid, she said. And she's got to learn about this. And she became religious because of this one story. Hakaras HaTov can do so much good. And it's a thank you, a genuine thank you. It literally could change the world. Nobody knows what it could do. Let us be zeicha to understand the great gifts that Hashem gave us from Meister Behema, from Lag BaOmer, the Oiris we should take with us, Imritz Hashem. And always show thanks to Hashem for the great gifts that Hashem has given us. And we should have a karas hatov, not just for Hashem, but for every human being on this planet.